Let's open our Bibles now in the book of Acts, chapter 8. We will read the verses 9 through 25. The book of Acts, chapter 8, beginning in verse 9 through verse 25. Acts, chapter 8. Beginning verse 9, this is the word of the living God, and he says, "But there was a man named Simon, who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all pay attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the power of God that is called great.' And they pay attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw the Spirit was given through the laying on the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter said to him, 'May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this weakness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity.' And Simon answered, 'Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me.' Now, when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans." Amen. Let's pray again and talk to our Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we read your scripture, and now we ask for your work through the Holy Spirit among us. Help us to see the greatness of your word, and help us to watch for our own hearts and see that we need to change and see that we need to follow your steps. And may we will be able to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. We pray all of these in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue our journey in the book of Acts, and it's amazing how far we already gone. We need to remember today some specific situations in the book of Acts, because Acts is not a book who can be understood if we just go in different chapters. Everything in the book of Acts are connected. Every passage probably is pointing to two or three other moments of the story of the church. And everything here is trying to show us that Jesus Christ is in control of everything and he's doing his work. We remember that in the beginning of this church, they were at Jerusalem waiting for the Holy Spirit. And that happened when the apostles and the believers received the Holy Spirit in chapter 2, and they spoke in tongues, and they saw many signs of God happening among them. And because of that coming of the Holy Spirit, a lot of people convert to Jesus Christ, and the church growed. And then the apostles, they continue to spread the gospel through the preaching of Jesus Christ. And they went before the Council of Jerusalem, and they spoke many times in the synagogue, and they were arrested, and they were threatened. And then, by the end of all of these, they said, "We will continue to praise our God and to obey the law of our God, and we will preach the gospel. We will not stop to offer the good news to the people." And because of this, tribulation growed, and by the end of chapter 6, Stephen became the first martyr of the church. He preached the gospel before the Council of Jerusalem. He was one of the seven deacons, chose to take care of the widows of Jerusalem, and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he was murdered by the council, by those who were there. And because of his death, and because of his preaching, Saul became the persecutor of the church, and he was going house to house, forcing them to blaspheme against God, and forcing them to deny Jesus Christ, or they would die. And many people were murdered by the hands of Saul and the Jewish people by that moment. But we have also another deacon, not only Stephen, working in the missions. Philip proclaimed Christ in Samaria, and he teach the gospel there. And that is why we are here again, dealing with this church and dealing with what Philip was doing in that city. Philip was one of the seven, and different from Stephen, the scripture doesn't say anything about him. He was not full of the Holy Spirit. He was not a man that had important behavior or different characteristics among the seven. He was just one of the deacons of Jerusalem, but he made exactly the same work that Stephen made. But the results are completely different. And that is why I brought all this contest to this moment, because here we will see that God is showing that he is doing the same thing using two different men in two different situations, but the result is completely different. Not because God was not in control of what was happening in Jerusalem, but because God was in control of everything, and he wanted to bring the Samaritans to his kingdom. And this is something that the Jews would not enjoy. Here we need to remember ourselves about Jonas, who were trying to preach to Nineveh, and he was actually not enjoying that situation. If he could, he would not preach and he would not see them repent. And the same thing would happen here if a Jew were called to preach the gospel to the Samaritans, because they were enemies. They hate themselves. So here, Philip, one of the seven, a Greek preacher of the gospel, he went to Samaria to preach the gospel. And in this situation, we find another man, Simon, who will be connected to Philip. And for some reason that I don't know exactly, Luke decided to put these two stories together, Simon and the spreading of the gospel in Samaria. Of course, by the end, I hope to be able to understand with you the reason of that. But initially, it doesn't seem Luke is doing wisely, writing wisely, putting Simon with Philip, spreading the gospel in Samaria, and this man there trying to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. But let's look to the text. And here we have this man named Simon being a previously practiced magic in the city. And he was someone by whom everyone in Samaria were taking in a high place. He was not a man of power. He didn't have a really power. He was not a man with gifts from the Lord. He was a man who made magic. Here, the scripture is not saying that those who are out of the presence of God, they have power by themselves. The scripture is not saying that Simon was a powerful man. And the scripture is not saying that he had gifts that could be connected to the gifts of the Lord. He was a magician. He was using his false magic to convince people in Samaria that he was a man of God. Two phrases are important here. Now, the first one is in the last phrase of verse 9, which says, saying that he himself was somebody great. He was speaking that about himself, and not the other people were speaking that about him. He was showing himself as somebody great. He was calling attention to him, and he was trying to show himself to them to receive something because of his power, because of his magic. Because of that, they pay attention to him, and they were convinced by his magic. We don't know exactly what he made, but they were convinced by his magic. And the last phrase of verse 10 says that they said about him that this man is the power of God that is called great. And then we become a little bit confused, because we are saying, the scripture saying that they say about him that he had the power of God who is called great. And this is connected to the faith of the Samaritans. The Samaritans, they didn't believe in the prophets of the scripture. They only believed in the five first books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. They believed in Moses. They were attached to the law of God. They wanted to be part of the kingdom of God in that situation. They were waiting for a Messiah, because the scripture in the Pentateuch teaches that also. But they became syncretic in their religion. They prayed to God, for this God who they called great. But they also pray for other gods, for images, for false gods, probably many of the gods of the Roman Empire too. So they were not faithful people of God. And that is why the Jews, they reject them, and that is why the Jews hate them, Because they were saying that they belonged to God, but they were worshiping other idols. However, this is very important here. Because when they saw Simon, the only connection that they could do, it was not with their other gods. They didn't say, okay, Simon is a man who has some gifts, some power, and maybe he's coming because of Baal or because of other gods that they were worshiping there. No, they said, okay, if he's a man of power, he must be sent by the God of the Scriptures. At least they could attach the power of God to the power of everything that happens in this world. They were not able to believe that that man, Simon, was coming by the hands of any other gods, because the other gods, they were not so powerful as the God of the Scripture was. So here, they connect Simon to God. This man is the power of God. He is coming because God sent him here. And the God of the Scripture is great. Last time that I preached here in chapter 8, I talked about the use of the word great. And here in these verses, we will see that happening many times. His magic was great. He said that he was great, and God is called great. So many situations here who are pointing to the same word, because here Luke is trying to show us what is really great. And of course, we will see that it's not Simon. Then, after this, people stay amazed with his magic, but then someone else comes to the city, and this one is Philip. Philip went there, and he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Pay attention that in this first verse, it doesn't say that Philip was working through signs and wonders in the church of Samaria, among the Samaritans. There, he was just in the beginning preaching good news. And once he started to preach good news, many of those who were following Simon, they were baptized, both men and women. And this is very important too, when the Scriptures quotes both man and woman, because here Luke is already teaching the Church of Jesus Christ that in the New Testament, the signs includes woman. And the Old Testament, only men could be circumcised, but the baptism is not only for men. It's also for women. All of those who belong to God, they need to be baptized. So here, Luke is including this to make sure that the new church who receives this letter will know that both were being baptized. And then we look to this situation, and through the preaching of the gospel, many people, they believed in Philip because of the good news of the gospel. Jesus was already working among the Samaritans. And then in verse 13, we have a verse that will make us confused, because Simon here himself, it says that he believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And then we will see that the last phrase says that he seen signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Well, I need to disagree with the title of this portion of the scripture in the ESV version. Because here in the title, you can be confused when it says Simon the magician believes. Of course, here we have this word, Simon himself believed. And it seems that he became converted to the gospel, that he became a person who started to follow Jesus Christ. But there are many situations in these texts that show us that he was not following Jesus, but he was following the signs, the wonders, and the power that Philip had. The first verse after his supposed conversion, it says that he continued with Philip. He continued following the deacon of Jerusalem. It doesn't say that he was following Jesus. And why he was following Philip? Because he was seeing the signs and great miracles, and he was amazed. Of course, even an unbeliever, if he sees a miracle today, they will want to know what is happening. Everyone will we want to know what is happening. If we see, for example, a lame man stand and start to walk, we will be amazed, and we will want to know what is happening there. And Philip, being a deacon in Jerusalem, he didn't know exactly what was happening with Simon. By that moment, he baptized him, and he was walking with him as a believer. But then, in verse 14, something else happened in the church of Samaria. The church of Jerusalem heard about what was happening there, and they, being the guides of the church by that moment, they sent two apostles to that city, Peter and John. And this is very important too, especially when we speak about the Roman church, who says that Peter was the head of the church, was the head of the apostles. Here he was obeying the commandments of the 12. They sent him. He was not sending himself. He was following orders, in other words. So if he was ahead of the church, he would not obey. He would give orders. And here, Peter and John, they were sent to Samaria. They were now in danger because there they were hide. They were trying to take care of the church, but they were among a big persecution. Saul was willing to take the apostles and to kill all of them because they were spreading the good news, the way they were teaching the gospel. So here, Peter and John were in great danger. But they need to know what was happening in the church of Samaria. And especially because there, the Holy Spirit was not working among them. And then we need to understand why those things are happening here. Philip preached the gospel. Philip was baptizing them. But for a reason, the Holy Spirit was not falling among the Samaritans. And that only happened when Peter and John went there and they prayed for the Samaritans. And we need to understand that this is the continuation of what God was doing through the disciples. God said, preach the gospel first in Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria and everywhere. But the apostles were responsible for this situation at the beginning. We will see that that will not continue in the future of the church when other people were baptized. They already received the Spirit. But here in the church of Samaria, it was needed to see, the apostles needed to see that God was working among them. For one reason, Peter and John and the apostles, they were all Jews. And being Jews, they were still thinking about the gospel being for Jews. They were the people of God. They were called to be the nation of God. And that is why here Peter and John need to went there to pray and to see what would happen in the city of Samaria. And of course, when they went there and they prayed, verse 17 says that they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. How is it possible to know that they received the Holy Spirit? Of course, here it's not speaking about this situation, but when they received the Holy Spirit, probably it was a second Pentecost in the city of Samaria. They probably saw signs and wonders happening among them when they received the Holy Spirit. We don't know exactly what happened there, but it was something manifest to the disciples. And Peter and John, they realized that God was also sending His Holy Spirit for those who they hate before. So the gospel is not only for Jews. The gospel is not only for good people. The gospel is also for idolaters and for those who reject the God of the Scripture. And this is very important because here God is teaching the word, He's teaching the church that they need to preach to everyone because He can call His elect among any nation of this world. It doesn't matter their sin. It doesn't matter what they did before. God can change their lives. God can bring them to peace. God can wash their sins with His blood because He's God. He is the powerful God. And of course, doing that, we can see already the greatness of God compared to the greatness of a normal man as Simon. Simon was a magician. He was making some tricks there, but he was not able to bring the Holy Spirit to the Samaritans. But when Peter and John came, the Holy Spirit came through the church. And look what happened then in verse 18. Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying of the apostles' hands. He offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." The character of Simon is already coming to surface right now. And instead of believing the gospel, instead of believing the Christ of the Scripture, instead of understand grace and mercy, he thought that his money, with the money in his pocket, he could buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. That shows a lot about Simon's heart and about his mind. Simon here is confessing before the apostles that he doesn't know anything about grace. Why do we receive the Holy Spirit? It's not because we offer anything, but it's by grace. We are saved by grace. He called us by grace. He washed us by grace. He saved us by grace. And He's giving us gifts and blessings by grace. We don't deserve anything of it. We don't deserve nothing besides hell. It's by grace. And Simon here is saying, look, Peter, John, I can pay a lot of money. Pay attention, he was not offering an amount of money. He was saying, how much I need to pay for that? It doesn't matter, just give me your price. Probably he was a rich man. He was selling his magic among the Samaritans for a while in this situation. He probably received a lot of money because of that. And here he was already rich and he was offering to the apostles money to receive the benefits of the gospel. And then we find Peter being Peter again. Because in verse 20, he will speak four truths to Simon, and then we will realize everything we need about these men. The first thing is in the first verse 20, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. Pay attention, may your silver perish with you. He was already saying, you will perish. And may your silver will perish with you. The result of the everything that he wanted for himself was that he would perish before God. This word perish can also be translated as he would be destroyed with silver. The reality here is he was emptied of the grace of God. He knew a lot of things about money and buying and selling. He knew a lot of things about selling his religion, about the power that he was using to receive money because of everything he made. But that is everything he knew. He didn't know about the gospel and the power of God. So here, Peter says that he thought that he could obtain the gift of God with money. We are not able to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. We are not able to buy the gifts of God. You are not able to buy, and we need to apply that to us, your salvation. It doesn't matter if you bring a lot of money to the church, if you offer a big amount of money every year. It doesn't matter if you give tithes every month. It doesn't matter, because that is not able to buy your salvation. We are saved by grace alone and nothing else. Only Jesus Christ can save you. If you still believe that you can offer something to the church and you can offer something to God using your money or your possessions or everything you can think about, change right now. It's not possible. God is a God of grace. Pay attention. He's not asking your money. He's saying that he will give you graciously the gift of life. And for some reason, a lot of people think, okay, I will buy it. It doesn't make sense. You don't need to buy. You don't need to offer anything. It's a gift without a price. And when we understand that, we understand the benefits of the works of Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace. We are here not because we are doing well. We are not here because we are working hard. We are not here because we learn with our parents and because we are coming to church every Sunday and then we deserve to be here. No, we are here by grace. And every Sunday remind us that by grace we are saved, and by grace we will be in heaven with Christ. And nothing is compared to that. We are saved by the love of Jesus Christ. But Simon, he was completely lost. So first he said, may you perish as your silver will perish. And then he adds in verse 21, you have neither part nor lot in this matter. This is also important, and that contradicts completely the title that ESV gave to this portion of the scripture. Pay attention. You have neither part nor lot in this matter. You will not receive the Holy Spirit, Simon, because you don't belong to the church. You will not receive the Holy Spirit because there is no lot for you here. There is no matter for you here. You do not belong to God. And that is why you are acting like a crazy man, intending yourself to buy salvation, to buy the works of the Holy Spirit. He continues saying, for your heart is not right before God. Here we already can understand what is happening here. Peter was a man called to work as a prophet. It's very different from Philip, who was called to be a preacher and a deacon to the church. Peter, when he was before Ananias and Sapphira, he said in a different way the same truths to Ananias and Sapphira. You are not able to buy. You are not able to pay a price to receive the gifts of the Lord. And because of their lie, they lied to the Holy Spirit, they were killed by God. And here, Peter is saying again, your heart is not right before God. You are denying God. And it's interesting that in this situation, Simon will not die. He will continue alive. And the church history says that he not only became a not believer after the time of the apostles, but he also began Gnosticism. He was responsible for the first Gnostic church there. And Justin, one of the most important people who wrote about the church history, he said that this Simon had a statue in Rome, and by the statue was written Simon Santo Deo, which means Simon Holy God. He, of course, didn't stay at church, he didn't repent, and he became lost. His heart was not right before God. But Peter also includes the call of the gospel to Simon. Verse 22 says, repent therefore of this weakness of yours and pray to the Lord that if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. Here Peter is saying, repent, change, follow Jesus, and may you will find a way. You will find grace. But the intention of his heart here is already back to Peter's mouth. He's saying, you have bad intentions. You want the gift of the Holy Spirit, not because you want to serve God, but you want this gift to be what you were before. Can you remember what happened in the beginning of this passage? Simon was an important guy in that city. And after the coming of the gospel, he became nothing. His magic was nothing compared to the power of the Holy Spirit. So people were not following him anymore. And he wanted to be there again. I want to be important again. I want to have power again. And that is why his intentions in his heart were become someone who had the power of God. But he was not able to do that. And we see for Liz in the fourth, speaking of Peter about him, he said in verse 23, "For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." His heart was in the bond of iniquity. He was not attached to Christ. He was not thinking in Christ. He was not wondering to be with Christ. He was not praising the name of the Lord. The only thing that he could think about was in himself. And Simon, verse 24, says, "Prayed for me to the Lord." What that means? It means that he completely don't understand the gospel. Instead of bow down before God and pray to God, he was saying to the apostles, "Look, your prayer is more important than my prayer. May, if you pray for me, God will change what you have said about me. May, if you pray, God will listen to your prayer and I will find mercy." That is also happening around the world today when people come to pastors and to preachers and they say, "Hey, pray for me. May God will listen your prayer. May God will listen to you because you are a holy God, a holy man, a priest, or something more important than anyone." Pay attention. What Peter said, "Pray, Simon, pray to the Lord, and may he will change your reality." Our God is not listening only the prayers of the preachers, of the prayers of important people that we think that they are important. God is listening to the church's prayer. When you pray or when I pray, it doesn't matter. God is listening to us. And all of us, we have the Holy Spirit who will work through our prayers and who will bring our prayers to God. It doesn't matter who is praying. Just pray. Bow down before God and bring to Him everything you need to say. We should not depend on anyone's prayer. Today we have this crazy thing. People, pastors, I don't know if they are pastors, maybe they are enemies of God, they are selling their prayers for many believers around the world. "If you give me an offer, I will pray for your sick. If you pay the right price, I will pray for prosperity. If you give me a good offering, I will pray for your job, for your car." They can include use olive oil to bless someone. Like, it's completely crazy. This is not from the scripture. This is something that flows from the heart of sinner people. And many people around the world is listening to them. And they are going far from God because of all of this. We have a God to talk to Him. You just need to close your eyes and say. But Peter said that. And instead of listening to Peter, Simon asked him to pray. And of course, in verse 25, we are not seeing Peter praying for him. We are not seeing he repenting. We are not seeing him receiving the Holy Spirit. There is anything here that shows us that Simon was someone who belong to God. And that is scary. Because he was among them, he was saying that he believed, he was baptized, and by the end of this portion of the scripture, we realize that he was not converted, that he was not part of the church, part of the kingdom of God. And of course, this is completely contrary to the doctrine, the Roman doctrine, which says that baptism confirms salvation. Baptism doesn't confirm salvation. Why do we baptize infants here? Because we believe that they are part of the covenant. But they need to profess their faith in truly before the church one day. And then they will say, I believe. I believe. Not because of my parents, not because of my grandparents, not because I'm coming to church, but because I believe. I believe in Christ. I believe that there is no other way besides Jesus Christ. I need him. I confess him. And we should pray for our children. We should pray for our youth. We should teach them. We should help them to make them see that they need Jesus Christ. Their baptism is not enough. Their coming to church is not enough. They need to believe. So pray for them. Preach for them in every situation you are able of. Pray for them every day and preach for them every day. And this is not only for parents. This is for the whole church. When you talk to a kid, help them to find the mercy of God. This is our work as a church of Jesus Christ. But then in verse 25, and I'm coming to the end, we see them testifying that the word of the Lord was making a great work among the Samaritans. And then Luke and John, they returned to Jerusalem, but they didn't return hiding. They returned preaching the gospel to many villages. They said, okay, the Samaritans are part of the kingdom now, so we should not avoid to preach the gospel in all the other Samaritan villages. Let's come back to Jerusalem and let's preach to all of them. But persecution was still there. But they knew that their job was preaching the gospel of God. We have a wonderful passage here. And we need to apply that for ourselves. First, we need to understand that this chapter, chapter 8, is completely connected to chapter 7. 7 speaks about a deacon, Stephen. Chapter 8 speaks about Philip, a deacon. Chapter 7 speaks about Stephen preaching. Chapter 8 about Philip preaching. In chapter 7, Stephen was making wonders and signs. In chapter 8, Philip is doing wonders and signs. All of this is exactly the same. The difference is, one was in Jerusalem and the other one in Samaria. The first one was rejected. His preaching was rejected. He was murdered by the hands of the Jews. But the second one, using the same gospel, the same signs, he fulfilled the call that God gave to him. And a lot of people among the Samaritans believed and came to God. What does that teach us? It teaches that God will work where he wants to work. Sometimes we think, okay, we should preach for this person because he is exactly what we need. He's a person who by which we can pray and preach, and may they will become converted. May they will come to God. They have all the characteristics that we need. So let's pray and preach for them. But here, the opposite is happening. No one wants Samaritans among the believers, at least the Jews. They learn to hate them, and they learn that they should not be part of the church. And then God started to call all of them to Christ. And they became wonderful missionaries after the persecution came to the Samaritans. They spread the gospel to many regions of the world too. And all of this because God was saying, He was showing to the world that He can work where He wants to work. He wanted to call the Samaritans, and He called them, and they convert. So, why are we not preaching the gospel for those who hate Jesus Christ today? We should not be afraid. God can convert any heart, including the heart of those who we learn to disagree and sometimes hate. We don't should stop our preaching because of any reason. If we find someone who is persecuting the church, offering the gospel. This is the first truth. And the second truth is that we should offer the gospel and not anything else besides the gospel. Can you see that here? Everything happened because Philip preached it, and then they believed and were baptized. Then Peter and John preached, and they received the Holy Spirit. And everything here is happening because they are teaching and preaching Jesus. We don't need to have all the answers of this word. We will not have. We need to preach what we have. We have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is able to find mercy and to bring salvation to any heart. And for least, we are seeing here, we are learning that the gospel is greater than any other thing in this world. It doesn't matter how powerful these world things they are, the magic they can do. It doesn't matter anything that they believe. The gospel is the most precious thing that we have in this world. The good news are powerful to change every reality. This is happening everywhere in the world. People who were slaves of their sins. They were completely stuck in their situation, in their desires. They were worshiping their false idols. And when they see the gospel, when they see Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel, everything changes. It doesn't matter if their false gods were doing signs and wonders or magics. Once you find the true God, once you find the true gospel, you are able to see that nothing is bigger than the gospel of Christ. So we need to trust the gospel. We need to trust the Holy Spirit. We need to see that the Holy Spirit is working today, and He is willing to work through the church today. Brothers, sisters, you are responsible for this work today. Probably we are not like Stephen, as the scripture says, a man full of the Holy Spirit, someone very good. But we can be like Philip, and we can do the job using exactly what God gave to us. And we will see His working through our hands and through our preaching. So, Church of Jesus Christ, stand and preach and speak about this gospel of salvation. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Scripture of God, for the teaching of your Holy Spirit. And we ask you, Lord, that may you can convince us to love you more than anything in this world, to convince us about the grace of the gospel, to help us to see that we are here because of your grace and not because we can offer something to you. And help us also, God, to offer our lives to you, to serve you, and to glorify your name. We pray, Lord, that may your Holy Spirit can work on us and through us, and then we will see your signs happening around us today. We pray all of these in Jesus' name.